This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, your host, and with us is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like more information about his fine work, you can go to rippleconnects.com or call him at 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us. And I'm really excited about our talk this weekend. It's an intriguing title. What do you mean by land and expand into your new career? That's our topic of discussion this week.
I've witnessed it myself. I've experienced myself that often that you get into a role, you get a foot in the door somewhere, and the role that you take on, the job description that you've come to find this role, find this opportunity. You get the foot in the door, and now you realize that you've landed. And all of a sudden, you're looking around, and you're seeing, you know, unique challenges to that organization from the inside, not from the outside looking in when you're interviewing. This is a grand opportunity for anybody of any age to find yourself growing and expanding into potentially a new career or a different looking career than you expected before you took the job, Freddie. Job descriptions often are written there. Some of them have aged. Some of them don't even factor in COVID-related new landscape and what has happened after that job description that was written, Freddie. Organizations are fluid. They change every month, correct?
That's right.
You might be tasked with a new role that you didn't even interview for. And that's what I mean by expanding. You've got your foot in the door. And now you might have an opportunity in your career to expand that. I talked about under the curated chapters for contenders, and I talked about Kevin Leonard's book, Ultimate Success. And he talks about, in his chapter, Self-Incorporated, landing and expanding. He combined that with what I talk about in the hidden job market. But often, if you get your foot in the door and you self-market yourself within an organization once you're in, Freddie, you may find yourself in a role, a new expanded role, that leads to your next career or a different looking career than you ever imagined.
That's pretty amazing. Everybody, we're talking about landing and expanding into a new career. Can this be a landmine if we're not ready for the expansion portion of what you were talking about today?
It's up to you. If you see those opportunities and you want to seize them, we'll go ahead and seize them. But if you were hired to do a role and you want to stay with that role, certainly stay with that role. But once inside and you have a more intimate idea of the challenges and what they need to accomplish, I would say be open to the possibilities of expanding your career or moving into the next career. Freddie, I took over a small nonprofit here in the Twin Cities less than a year ago, and I've seen my own career, my own expand because of some of the challenges that rolled up due to COVID. I have to be one of the most effective communicators this organization has ever had in its 20 years existence. Because of the challenges. Well, when I interviewed for that position, Freddie, COVID wasn't coming into play. The small business community around us and the ever-changing, I talk about this snow globe that's been shook up and these flakes are still falling down, Freddie. That wasn't the time that I interviewed. But now, myself, I find myself in a role that I've got to roll up against these challenges for this nonprofit here that I lead. All of a sudden, I look back and say, I didn't know that I had to become a grant writer. I didn't know that I had to basically collaborate with these different organizations that would help us become stronger post-COVID. But Freddie, that is equating to me expanding my role and looking at downstream some years on how I've expanded myself into a new career.
Very interesting. Everyone, we're talking with our co-host on the program, Joe McKenzie, about landing and expanding into your next career. And he sees it as a benefit for a lot of us. How does someone take steps, Joe McKenzie, to identify those types of career opportunities?
I've often talked about your bench of advocates going to give you that those insider knowledge of what's going on. But I do think that if you take a job description too literally without looking at the greater industry or that organization's potential, I think those are the steps you take. If you're too myopic at looking at that job description, at a title, at a salary package versus what that organization's seeking and where they are in that landscape of that industry or how they're relative to competitors, I do think those are the steps someone can take to potentially uncover these opportunities. You don't know because you're on the inside looking in. But definitely take that step of not being myopic and look at the potential of those industries, of that organization for growth, where this organization could go and what it means to you in an expanded role if you take the step of getting a foot in the door.
So should we walk into these career opportunities or different projects with the idea that there is expansion available to us and all we have to do is look for it?
Absolutely. If you don't know what you don't know until you get inside an organization. But if I think someone that's in their career should be looking for opportunities, that's where that self-marketing piece comes in. Kevin Leonard did write that in his book, Self Incorporated. Self-market yourself and uncover those new opportunities from within, and you may set yourself on your next career chapter. And that is, I concur with that because I've been there, Freddie. I'm sure you have too, and we've known other people. They may have started here, but now are there. Well, often it's because they were looking for it. They were looking for some of the challenges and how their transferable skills could equate to overcoming some of the challenges. That's, yes, absolutely. Be on the lookout for opportunities. Once you're in, you get that foot in the door to expand your role and potentially carve out that next career chapter.
Really interesting. In case you just joined us, and I said that earlier, we're talking about landing and expanding into your next career. And we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He's our career expert on New Beginnings. So what are some of the long-term career benefits of this type of job search strategy where you're looking once you get into that organization for that opportunity to expand?
I think the most important one is if you find an organization that you can see the possibility for you to expand your role or carve out your next chapter, then you avoid that job hopping syndrome that many people find themselves in because maybe they were too myopic over the role and title and salary and a position and didn't really look at it from the lens of is there the possibility of growth here. So you avoid that job hopping syndrome because really you're moving upward within an organization with an expanded role after you get that foot in the door. But also, I've talked about this for 6 years, Freddie, when there is growth involved, professional and personal growth, that drives most people, motivates most people, and that is some of the long-term career benefits of having an opportunity where you can land and expand and carve out a next chapter. That next chapter, Freddie, might be within that organization that you got your foot in the door.
It's amazing. So are these the types of things, the type of expansion opportunities that can find their way to your resume, or do these tend to stay off the resume?
No, they definitely can be in a position where they're on your resume because you want to be forward thinking in everything you do. Particularly with LinkedIn, if you have an expanded role, make sure that even though you're employed and you have a title, make sure that you're putting your accomplishments in there. So if there is another opportunity down the road in another organization or even internally, some of these big corporations in the Twin Cities are so large, they're empires. Well, if you self-market yourself by putting that on LinkedIn, your new role, you may carve out your own opportunities that way.
Well, so if we were to take something away from our conversation this weekend, what did you want it to be? What did you want us to remember?
Think about the visual of getting your foot in the door, but with that knowledge of an industry or an organization that you see the potential for you to grow as well as that organization, get your foot in the door, but be ready to land and then expand, like Kevin Leonard talks about in his book, Ultimate Success, and then begin looking at the challenges and how your transferable skills can to address them. That's that self-marketing piece, Freddie. It's not self-marketing just to get a job. It's self-marketing to expand your role. So I wanted to kind of take a granular approach in regards to self-marketing. And that would be that takeaway here today.
You do some wonderful work at Ripple Connects, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our program continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, freddiebell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply freddiebell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply freddie@freddiebell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@freddiebell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, freddiebell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Please welcome to our program this morning, Dr. Wanda Whitney Sherney, who is a pediatric hematologist and oncologist at Children's Hospital of Michigan, and also Casey Morris, who grew up with sickle cell disease, who is also now a middle school teacher, talking about her experience transitioning to adult care. And I'm wondering, why is it important for us to understand the transitions as we go from COVID back into going back to school and also just back into society? Dr. Sherney, how would you address that?
Well, you know, particularly around transitions, it's a very important time in everybody's life, you know, when you're transitioning from being a teenager to being an adult. But it's even a bigger issue when you have a chronic illness like sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And that's a time when people are having to take on more responsibility for their health care. And there are lots of challenges. Frequently, people are leaving high school and going to college. And so then there's that whole new environment. Maybe it's a new city. It's a whole new team of doctors. And the pediatric setting for sickle cell disease is very different from the adult setting. You know, your parents aren't with you when you go in to give your history. So you have to really take charge of your own health care in addition to all the other challenges, because you're taking charge of your life, you know, because you're living independently. You know, and then there's the stress of wanting to make sure you get good grades and also have a good time when you're in school. So it's really a balancing act. So that whole transition period, you know, and then with COVID-19, then that just adds an extra layer of things that you need to do to really protect yourself, and you know, wearing a mask and washing your hands and not touching your face and all the things, and crowds, you know, just not, we want to do social distancing, and people in college want to party, you know. So there are lots of things that are that we have to rise to the occasion, because this is the time we're living in.
I hadn't planned to ask you this, but I've not seen any documentation. No one's talking about it until I just heard you kind of mention it. Can you talk about how sickle cell disease plays into COVID-19? And it seems to me, just based on the little bit that you said, that there is a more acute concern with especially Black people with the trait and with the disease as it relates to COVID-19. Is that a fair statement?
That is definitely a fair statement. And you know that COVID-19 is having a bigger impact on the African-American community at large. And sickle cell disease, basically, you know, most commonly in our country, affects African-Americans. And because of their compromised immune system, the individuals with sickle cell disease are more susceptible to COVID-19. So we really have to protect them and educate them in ways to protect themselves.
Casey Moore,
what you're saying is quite accurate, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, you spurred that question. And Casey Morris, there's a racial portion of this dealing with sickle cell as you go through school and even through life. Can you talk about your experience with sickle cell as it relates to race?
Absolutely. Oftentimes you'll find in hospitalizations, or I found in hospitalizations, that you're judged. You are told that you're seeking medication. You're told that you're seeking narcotics for recreational use, when the reality is, when you're in extreme pain, it's hard to vocalize what exactly is happening to you in your body as it pertains to sickle cell. So while I may be having trouble breathing, crying, it's hard to explain, you know, the medication that I necessarily need. And when I finally do, people racially profile you and say, you know, you're a young African-American woman who's just drug seeking. And that is not the case. And so we need to, you know, get rid of that stereotyping.
Casey, it seems as if the symptoms of sickle cell disease are very similar, if not identical, to those of COVID-19. Is that a fair statement as well?
I would refer to Dr. Cherney on that particular topic. I, you know, my experience with sickle cell, I've experienced excruciating pain, and I've been, knock on wood, fortunate enough to keep myself safe and healthy and socially distanced and wearing masks and not have any issues with COVID. But from, you know, what I've seen on the news and what I've heard, yeah, there are some issues with lungs and breathing issues that you can experience when you live with sickle cell anemia.
Yeah, just a quick question for Casey. As a middle school teacher, are you back in the classrooms? Are you concerned about going back in the classrooms, being that you are a sickle cell patient and with the COVID-19 and everything that's happening? Are you actually physically back in class?
I'm really, really fortunate in the school system that I work in Connecticut has been very open and very helpful to me in voicing my own opinions and my own concerns about coming back into the classroom and, you know, not being on campus all day, all the time. I love teaching my students, and I definitely want to be there for them in that environment, but staying spaced and wearing my mask is all well and good, but only as it, you know, pertains to a few minutes per day. So if it's a balance between half virtual, half in person, that's great. If it needs to be fully virtual, that's great as well. And they're super supportive of my decision to, you know, do the half and half until I figure out what's most comfortable for me. And also best for the students, whether they're living with sickle cell or not.
Can you talk about the healthy habits that can help anyone, either with sickle cell and COVID, to transition and to make sure that we all stay safe?
Casey's talked a lot about this, but, you know, staying well hydrated, you know, and trying to manage your stress. And, you know, you just have to know your body, and you have to pay attention to your triggers, and you have to just have a healthcare plan, you know, so that you're not crisis oriented. But we are really partnering with Global Blood Therapeutics to raise awareness about sickle cell disease. And September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, so this is a really good time to do it. But we also want to call attention to the first FDA-approved medication that actually targets the root cause of sickle cell disease, which is that red blood cell. And so it helps to stop the cell from sickling, and then if we stop the cell from sickling, we don't have the problems that you have in sickle cell disease. All medications have side effects, but the thing that we see most commonly is loose stools or diarrhea. And so it's really important that you talk to your doctor about your healthcare plan and what is best, and that you always make sure that you keep taking all your prescription medications. You don't have your parents there anymore to remind you, so you got to make sure that you're taking your medications, that you know what they're for, and you know what the doses are.
We're just about out of time. Casey Morris, do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
Absolutely. Just as, you know, Dr. Herring was saying, taking a front seat to your own healthcare is really, really important. There's a lot of great information on sicklecellspeaks.com for patients out there, for parents out there, for doctors out there that are looking for more information on sickle cell, you know, keeping yourself abreast of all things that you need to take care of yourself, as well as staying hydrated.
Dr. Whitten Cherney, can you talk about, as we say goodbye, the inspiration that led you to this work of sickle cell disease?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. My father, Dr. Charles Whitten, was the founder of the National Association for Sickle Cell Disease, which is now the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, Michigan chapter, and was really a pioneer in the field and instrumental in getting the newborn screening program started that's now nationwide. And I just am really trying to continue his legacy, and I really appreciate your allowing me to mention him. Because he was very instrumental in sickle cell disease. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you and your family's work. And thank you, Casey Morris, for stopping in with us and sharing some important information about sickle cell disease during September, which is Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month. Thank you both for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning. You are listening to New Beginnings, and with us right now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis with our 4-minute reset. Good morning.
Good morning, Freddie. Welcome, everybody, to our 4-minute reset. So I would invite everybody right now to just take a breath, to really breathe into your body, to allow yourself to drop into the next 4 minutes with absolute presence. And take another deep breath in. And for those of you who are following along, driving in your cars, you will remain focused on what you need to pay attention to on the road and still be able to experience this wonderful, relaxing reset. And for those of you where it's safe and appropriate to allow the eyes to close down, you can take a moment to just close your eyes. And all of us can breathe in deeply right now and exhale slowly. That's right. Doesn't it feel good to just let yourself have a deep moment, a deep sigh, where you recognize the release of tension within your body, where you may recognize that you've been gripping the steering wheel or holding on to tension in your neck, and you can just let it go? Still doing what needs to be done, but from a more relaxed state where you can begin to recognize where your awareness is, where your thoughts have been. And those thoughts, have they been in the past, which is now over, which can no longer be changed? Or have those thoughts led you into a future that is uncertain and full of what ifs? And when you become aware of those two places, can you instead bring your attention and bring your awareness back through the use of your breath right now, just breathing in and breathing out and becoming aware of right now, this moment of now, where all of your power is, this moment of now where decisions for action are made, where choices are made for your next forward movement, not the one to take place next week, next month, next year, but the action that is to take place now. Perhaps it's just a breath and a moment to be and a moment to release and a moment to relax as you take this reset moment and move forward boldly into the rest of your day.
Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis and New Beginnings continues right now.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Please welcome an individual who has a direct hand in this upcoming election for November. We just came through an interesting one with only minor hiccups in the whole system for the primary. Please welcome Secretary of State for Minnesota, Steve Simon. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
The coronavirus has put a large part of our lives on hold, but certainly not the election, maybe just a different wrinkle. What can we expect going into the November elections in Minnesota, sir?
Well, you're right. Coronavirus has really changed a lot. And so we've got to think about this election a little bit differently. Usually I'd be out at a time like this talking about how you need to vote, you need to register, and that's all, of course, still true. But there are a couple specific things that I'm talking about these days that I wouldn't be in a normal year. And this is not a normal year. So the way I look at it is this. We got about an average of 1,000 people per polling place around Minnesota. That's the average. Mm-hmm. And from a health standpoint, we want to try to get that number down if we can. So I basically have two big asks of everybody in Minnesota. Number one is for folks to consider voting from home this year. You don't have to. You can go to the polling place, of course, but consider doing that. It's super easy. You can go to a website. The website is mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. It takes you 5 minutes maximum. Get that ballot sent to you at home. You can vote with your feet up, vote while you're eating a meal, watching TV, whatever. Mm-hmm. Plus, every person who votes this year from home is arguably making the polling place just a little bit safer for those who do show up on election day. So that's kind of the first thing that I'm typically talking about.
And the second thing that you're talking about, everyone, we're talking with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon about voting this year. So the first one is vote from home. And what is your second ask?
Well, the second ask is related to that. It's that people consider being a poll worker or a so-called election judge. Same term, means the same thing. We need folks to step up and do that work at the polls on election day. It's a paid gig. I always remind people, some folks think it's a volunteer job. It's not. You even get paid for the 2 hours of training that you have to take. It's a great way to help out democracy. You aren't tied to your own city or neighborhood or county. If you live in Minneapolis and you hear they need help in, you know, St. Paul or Eagan or whatever, you can go there if you want. And it's just a great opportunity. We're making it as safe as possible. We've spent the time and money in our office to buy and distribute to every one of our polling places high-grade masks for all the election workers, masks also for our voters. We got hand sanitizers, pumps, wipes, rules in place for social distancing, use of pens, wipe down of the polling space, all that stuff. So we're going to make it a safe deal for everyone. And we just need folks to help out to make sure that the show runs smoothly on election day.
You mentioned the two asks for the November general election. So can you talk about some of the background steps at your office? You mentioned the pens and so forth that you're providing to make sure that Minnesotans are safe. What are some of the other safety measures that are in place? Because there are some people who are concerned. They've called us and saying that President wants to change the voting date or delay it. What can you say, if anything, for reassurance to our listeners about voting in November?
Absolutely not. The president cannot possibly delay the election on his own. It would take an act of Congress to do that. That is not going to happen unless we're hit with a meteor shower or something like that, that, you know, an asteroid hits the earth or something like that. It's just not going to happen. So that kind of talk is just not helpful at all. We are going to have an election. It's going to be Tuesday, November 3rd. Until that time and for days and weeks before that, you can vote absentee by going to mnvotes.org, having that ballot sent to you. You don't have to deal with any sort of hassle on election day. It just comes right to you. And you can postmark it, by the way. You can postmark it on election day, drop it in that mailbox on election day. And as long as it gets there within a week, you got 7 days, a nice buffer built in there. Mm-hmm. If it gets there within a week, you're good to go. So that's a big assurance to a lot of folks.
Tell us what the turnout was for the primary and what learnings, if any, did you have from the primary elections that you'll take into the general election, Mr. Secretary?
Yeah, turnout was really high for a primary. It was above 20%, which is for a primary election really, really high. And the cool part about it, from my standpoint, it was the first election anyone can remember, maybe ever, where a majority of the voters voted from home. Only 40% of the voters in that primary actually went physically on primary day. The rest did what I'm talking about. They got the ballot, they ordered it home, and they voted from home. So I'm not sure the same balance will be there on November 3rd, whether it'll be 60-40. All I know is more and more people are taking advantage of that, which has other effects. You know, that means we got to plan a little bit differently around that if we're going to have fewer people in the polling places, but more doing it from home and popping it in the mail. We got to be attentive to that as well. So that's a big takeaway for me.
So is the state ready for all these mail-in ballots, sir?
I think we are. I think we are. And even though, you know, your listeners are hearing stories about the Postal Service and slowdown, hey, we got this built-in one-week period where even if you wait until Election Day, which is the last possible day to mail it, you still have a built-in 7 days. You don't have to send it on Election Day. I also tell folks that if you're jittery a little bit about the Postal Service for whatever reason, just because you got it by mail doesn't mean you have to return it by mail. you can always hand deliver it to the address on the envelope or have someone you know and trust deliver it for you. Either way, there are workarounds. There are ways to get around even a potential delay in the Postal Service. I'm just putting this out there as an option for safety and for making sure that, you know, we have an orderly election.
Everyone, talking with now the Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon. Do you have a final thought for individuals who are listening who are wondering if their vote really does count in a pandemic?
Absolutely, yes. That website I mentioned, mnvotes.org, you can do a bunch of stuff on that website. You can register to vote right there online. You can order your ballot to come to you at home. You can also track your ballot. Speaking of your vote counting, you don't have to just pop it in the mail and say a prayer and hope that it gets there. You can track it like an Amazon package or like a, you know, package. You can go put in your info and know for sure. It'll give you a notice. Yep, it arrived on this day. Or yep, it arrived. It's being processed. It's being counted. You don't have to wonder or guess. That's a really nice feature.
Really is. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning and sharing with our Minnesota audience about voting and the safety of it and the convenience in the upcoming November elections. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And with us now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris, property manager and newly minted, I should say. If you'd like to reach out to Kitty, you can reach her directly at 612-344-2221. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North. That's in Minneapolis. Good morning, Kitty, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I'm seeing all this construction around Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. What's new with regard to the complexes and housing?
Yes, we have a lot of exciting projects going on in the midst of the COVID craziness around us. MPHA is currently remodeling one of our senior high-rises, the Elliott Twins, which is downtown near Viking Stadium. I was going to call it Humphrey. That show that's dating myself.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is we are renovating our senior units, and we're building a link in between the buildings that will have a state-of-the-art community gathering space for our residents, as well as a lot of other amenities that seniors will need as they are aging in place. And so we're very excited to have the opportunity to leverage some available funds in order to provide this service. And none of our residents have to be displaced during this time. So they're kind of living in a construction zone. But it's exciting to see the new endeavors that we're doing to our existing properties, as well as creating new properties and partnerships.
So do the new properties give you more space, or is this a replacement for some older facilities that have gone out of commission?
Well, the Elliott Twins one is just kind of giving that building a facelift, but our new property, people who may have driven past our main office at 1001 Washington would probably notice where Zakara's Produce used to be. There stands a new beautiful building. It's a multi-income housing facility. We're going to have some project-based vouchers there. So that is creating new housing that was not there in the community, and it's right by our main office, and it's called the Redwood. It's another one of our community partnerships. And so what MPHA has been trying to do over the last couple of years is attach ourselves to businesses that want to bring more housing to the community and see how we can partner and make sure that it's affordable and accessible for the community.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in North Minneapolis. So in that regard, housing is a prime concern for everyone, no matter your age. If someone wants to get into Minneapolis public housing, what are the steps required to start that process?
And so I'm glad you asked that, Freddie, because it's a common misnomer when it comes to public housing. So MPHA has 42 high rises throughout the city of Minneapolis. And one of the things about our public housing is that application process is never closed. We are always accepting applications for persons that are seniors or are disabled. Obviously, people cannot come in to obtain an application, but they can give us a phone call at 612-344-1400. We typically would accept those applications on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays as a walk-in. But now that we are closed, people are able to call and get information on how they can apply for public housing. if they are a senior or they're 18 plus disabled, we do have that option available. And then also I want to mention that our sister to the across the river, our sister in St. Paul, the St. Paul Housing Authority will also be opening its waiting list in the upcoming weeks. And so I encourage people to visit the St. Paul Housing Authority's website and find out more information about their upcoming wait list opportunities as well.
All right. And what's the website in case our listeners may have missed a couple of the telephone numbers or websites specifically for open housing?
So for MPHA, they can go to www.mphaonline.org. And for the St. Paul Housing Authority, they can go to www.ststpha.org.
All right, Kitty, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Freddie. You have a great day.
And New Beginnings continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
It's been quite a week. A week of awakening for many. What appeared to begin in our own Twin Cities has now stirred the world. Humanity in all its expressions is beginning to face its history, its current events, and imagine, what are we? What will we become? I was morally stirred this week as I gathered with about 2,000 clergy at the site of George Floyd's death. A poster, one of many, caught my attention. The words of James Baldwin were displayed. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. It speaks to our individual minds and our collective human will. It reminds me of another quotation that is very meaningful to me. Rudolf Steiner cautioned us, and I paraphrase, every action in this world has consequences. Choose what consequences you are willing to live with. My lesson is inspired today, at least in its title, but also in its imagining, by a movie that was made in 1951, seems so long ago, but still it is a part of our current mythology. It was created not long after World War II, and it was entitled The Day the Earth Stood Still, inspired by a story by Harry Bates in which the author created an imagined alien visitor who, unlike many other science fiction aliens, looked very similar to us. The doctors could not find a difference in his physiology. There was one major difference, though, with our alien guest, Klaatu. He traveled with a robot that prevented his people from acting violently. In other words, Klaatu's people did not have the choice to act in violence. If they did, their race of robots had the power to destroy anyone who acted violently. In their confederation of planets, the peace was maintained without question by these mechanical devices. Let me outline the very basic narrative of this film. The mission of our visitor, Klaatu, was to convey to the Earth the warning that with the discovery of atomic power and the design of rockets, his confederation would not tolerate humanity spreading destruction beyond the earth. If humanity did not get its destructive behavior under control, Tlatu's confederation of planets would totally destroy the earth, leaving it, as he said, a burned out cinder. Well, that's a pretty scary possibility for a horror film of the 1950s. Now, to show the power of his world, their technology, Tlatu arranges a demonstration. For 30 minutes, the electrical energy of the entire earth is neutralized. All activity comes to a standstill. Human beings everywhere are shocked and bewildered. They have to take notice. And they ask, what's going on? What does this mean? After this brief period, activity begins again. Cars start, machines switch on, factories go back to work, even the clocks begin to keep time again. The earth had stood still for a moment so that humanity might reboot its focus and pay attention to a much bigger picture of itself as a member of a great universe of life, rather than as an isolated planet, unaware of its context in the cosmos. Now, as the story goes on, in their contempt to capture and thereby control the alien visitor, the military of the Earth fatally shoot him. With his only earthly friend at his side, Tlatu tells her to go to the robot, Gork, and say the words that would stop him from destroying the Earth. She went to the spaceship, which the robot was guarding, and as the robot began to walk toward her, she let out the classic horror film scream, "Ah!" Then she gathered her courage, stood very still, and spoke the new alien language. Tlatu barara nikto. Now, as a side note, although the screenwriter later claimed that these alien words were simply gibberish, others have imagined what they must have expressed, what they told the robot. Perhaps it was, don't destroy the earth. There is still hope for humanity. Our heroine, of course, fainted, and the robot took her limp body into the spaceship. He then went out and retrieved the dead body of Tlatu, and through advanced technology on the spaceship, he brought him back to life. The alien visitor addressed the great scientists of the world who had gathered at the spaceship at his invitation and gave them his final warning. It is up to you, people of Earth, what your fate will be. The choice is yours. And the spaceship took off and disappeared into space as the movie ends. Now, you might wonder, why on earth am I bringing a science fiction story to our Sunday service? And even after my lesson, some may still be wondering, what did he do that for? But I offer, especially following my recent lesson series based on Bible stories, why would I turn to science fiction?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Recently, someone said, "You look really happy. What's up?" I had to admit that I was feeling good. My job, friends, and spiritual life are all in tune. It's just so good when you find a place that helps you over the bumps in life, affirms that you are a special person, and that all you desire is waiting for you to claim it. A place where there's no blame, no shame, letting you just be you. Embracing, loving, empowering. That's Unity South Church, a non-denominational spiritual community for adults and children, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. Come visit on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Unity South. That somehow I will find my way.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.